Well, welcome back to the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and we have really a fascinating book to talk about. And there's a popular phrase now, Black Lives Matter. And we're going to be talking about a writer who in the 1920s was very concerned about Black lives and protecting and saving them and accounting for the terrible conditions that they experienced around the world, but also particularly in America. And that was many years ago, and his name was Ho Chi Minh. And there's a book, The Black Race by Ho Chi Minh, and it includes selected works on systemic racism, and it has introduced and organized by Dai Trang Nguyen, who is our guest. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Phil. How are you?
Very good. This is, I really appreciate so much this revealing of the mind, I would say, and the passion of Ho Chi Minh. And there's so many details about this that will stand out for me because, of course, in North America, there are so many references to Ho Chi Minh, mostly in relation to, of course, America's war of aggression against Vietnam and the resistance led by Ho Chi Minh, and he became a kind of mythical figure. One aspect of that is we bring him into only one time frame, the period of the 1960s, even forgetting, of course, about his struggle against French and Japanese imperialism. But your book, this book, reveals that he was someone who had traveled and understood the world and had been writing about it and playing a role so many years ago. If you could, I'd like you to tell us a little bit in how he came to be an international figure. He traveled, I was surprised to learn, he traveled to Boston and to New York. He saw Madagascar, Paris. Talk about that period and how he came to become, start writing about and talking about this important matter of colonialism and colonial and racism, which he links so closely.
Thank you, Phil, for your comment, and thank you for having me at the Taylor Report. Well, I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak about Ho Chi Minh's life and work. I would like to start with his youth. He was born to an intellectual and poor family in 1890 in a village named Lotus, because it was famous for beautiful lotus flowers, which is now Vietnam's national flower. And his father pursued his studies, and his mother weaved textiles to support the family. And Ho Chi Minh had an older sister, an older brother. His father successfully passed the exam, but refused to cooperate with the imperial government controlled by the French colonialists. And Ho Chi Minh, when he was young, he listened to many discussions by Vietnamese patriots around him about Vietnam being colonized by the French. And he briefly attended the National Academy in Da Huế, the imperial city, in 1908. And this school was built by the French to train Vietnamese to serve the French colonial government. And soon Ho Chi Minh participated in protests against the brutal French strange tax system imposed on the Vietnamese people. And because of that, he was removed from the school. And Ho Chi Minh's father had a discussion with the leader of the Going East movement to send him to Japan in an effort to seek Japanese support to fight France. But Ho Chi Minh decided that he would go to France to understand why the French spoke about liberty, equality, fraternity, but then they treated the Vietnamese brutally. And so he left Vietnam from Saigon in 1911 as a cook on a French ship bound for France. And it passed Singapore, Sri Lanka, Madagascar, and Egypt. And the year after, he worked for another French ship to travel to Africa. And it passed many African countries, such as Algeria, Tunisia, Congo, and Dahomey, Senegal. And in 1913, he moved to London. And 1917, he was back to Paris. He was also in Spain, Portugal, Brazil, Italy, and the United States. In the United States, he worked as a baker at the Parker House Hotel in Boston. And he also traveled to New York, spent time in Harlem with the African American community, and he worked in Brooklyn. So in total, he traveled to 28 countries in 30 years.
Wow. He actually attended meetings of the Negro Improvement Association of Marcus Garvey.
Yes, he did. And many Americans have been able to make the connection between Ho Chi Minh and the Vietnamese struggle against American intervention with the Black struggle in America. And later on in the 60s, with the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement in the United States.
Mm-hmm. You know, the book contains, of course, many observations and a good analysis of American history. You could actually say Ho Chi Minh understood American history better than most Americans, because he touched on matters which were verboten. You weren't supposed to talk about lynching, and you were not supposed to talk about people being deprived of their rights in ordinary school system. But if one were reading Ho Chi Minh in 1924, they would get a very good education.
Definitely, yes. I was very impressed with the amount of information that he was able to collect on the topic of colonialism and racial relations in the United States. In my book, I had collected 20 essays. 17 of them were written in the early 1920s and in French. And the other three were written in 1960s in Vietnamese. He was able to use a large number of sources to write short, appealing, and easy to read essays. My editor and I were able to reference 30 books that he used. Most of them were in 1910s and 1920s, in addition to many newspaper articles. Mm-hmm. Just imagine the amount of work that Ho Chi Minh did to collect this information.
He cites his sources, by the way. He made me want to go and read those books, and you provide a bibliography in the back. For example, on the matter of lynchings and on the Ku Klux Klan, he cites Mr. Mecklen, who was one of our, a kind of a forgotten scholar, but you have to understand Ho Chi Minh was very careful about his information. It was what we call solid information. It wasn't anecdotal, and it wasn't from newspapers.
Yes, definitely yes. At the back of the book, there's a list of many important authors on the topic of Black studies. And you were absolutely right that Ho Chi Minh knew in details about the United States. There's a journalist, American journalist Alden Whitman of the New York Times, wrote in 1969 that Ho Chi Minh's knowledge of American history was keen, and what impressed him in the United States were the ugliness of American capitalism, the Ku Klux Klan mob, and the lynching of Blacks.
You know, again, it's so timely, this book, because the issue is still right in front of us. We have gone through a period here of months of very large demonstrations because of the killing of Black Americans in under really horrible circumstances. And these killings echo what Ho Chi Minh was describing. And I was struck by this. Page 11 of the book, Ho Chi Minh is writing about lynching, and he gives us a picture of what was behind it, the sort of the ideology of the lynchers. And he said, among the charges brought against the victims, and he's talking about 1919, we note, one of them had been a member of the League of Nonpartisan Independent Farmers. That was his crime. One of having distributed revolutionary publications. One of expressing his opinions on lynching too freely. One of having criticized the clashes between whites and blacks in Chicago. One of not getting out of the way and thus frightening a white child was another, who was in a motor car. And he said, and there were 50 lynchings that year, he notes. This really speaks to something which is very contemporary. This so-called civilization, particularly North America, is so violent. And it's, by his telling us what it was that permitted these crowds with policemen standing by and mayors, and he notes that, to go ahead and do these things. The borderline between ordinary civilized conduct and raw violence is there for everybody to see. But I think Ho Chi Minh, by calling attention to the specific details, what was it that they thought permitted them to take the life of a Black American?
Yes, Ho Chi Minh was very, very concerned about the fact that the lives of Asian or Africans didn't really mean anything to the colonizers, and in this case, some of the Americans. And he discussed about this a lot in his writing. And in the introduction of the book, there is a quote that Ho Chi Minh said that the story about in a port in Dakar, Senegal, when a French colony in West, at that time, a French colony in West Africa, which was a departure point once in the Atlantic slave trade. And he described the story that the French ashore ordered four Africans to swim out to the boat in shark-infested waters. And four Africans drowned, but the crew was indifferent. And so Ho Chi Minh remarked that the French in France are good, but the French colonists are cruel and inhuman. And it's the same everywhere, even in Vietnam. And he said that to the colonists, the life of an Asian or an African is nothing. So that would lead us and lead me to the Black Lives Matter, that we have to make the point that Black lives matter, Asian lives matter, and all lives matter.
And as you say, he said it's your phrase, liberty, equality, fraternity. And of course, he also threw it back into to the Americans. Why do you say that you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and then you crush people? And it speaks, there is a term too that is, of course, it came along after he was had done his writing, white supremacist thinking. It brought out very dramatically by the story of battling Siki. You mentioned the Senegalese. Siki did the unspeakable. He knocked out a French champion. Could you talk about it? Because, you know, we think of Muhammad Ali or Joe Louis, but battling Siki was there. And that moment for France must have been a shock.
Yes, the story of Siki is particularly interesting. And his writing about Siki was also very interesting. He wrote right at the beginning of this essay that, and I read here, ever since colonialism has existed, the whites have been paid to bash in the faces of the blacks. For once, a black has been paid to do the same thing to a white. And the rest of the article, the essay, is very interesting why the issue doesn't sit well with the white people at that time, that Siki, a black boxer, could knock down a white boxer, and that just didn't sit well with them.
It echoes, there was the great black champion Jack Johnson in America, and he knocked out a white man to become the champion. Mm-hmm. And it led to lynching, actually, violence in the streets, and calls for the banning of boxing in America. And I noticed the same happened in France. Several eminent politicians gave talks and called for the elimination of boxing because they had been embarrassed. I was also struck that Ho Chi Minh said, in credit to Mr. Carpentier, the recipient of the knockout, and actually rather apparently a decent man, he said, I congratulate him for taking his loss, but also for visiting Russia. This was after the Bolshevik Revolution. Carpentier went to Russia, and Ho Chi Minh noted that as a significant possible advance Carpentier was, after, he was a legend, and he did something quite heroic, actually, because visiting Russia was not, again, something you were not supposed to do. And of course, Ho Chi Minh visited Russia, which was a turning point, I suppose, in his life.
He went to Moscow in 1924. And in 1925, he completed the book, The Black Race. And the book was translated into Russian and published in Russia in 1928. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are not able to locate the original French version of his book, The Black Race. But we do have a copy of the Vietnamese translation. So we did translate the book, The Black Race, from Vietnamese to English, knowing that we need to do our best in terms of translation, because Ho Chi Minh has a very particular type of style. He often uses humor. His writing is concise, and
yes. By the way, I want to remind you, the book is The Black Race by Ho Chi Minh and Selected Works on Systemic Racism, introduced by Day Trang Gyun, our guest. And it is available, I know, at a different book list, but I assume if you put the title in, you can hunt it up. I do hope people will make sure they get the book. I wanted to ask about that. He's writing in French. The style is almost colloquial sometimes, and it seems to be, I can note a lot of sarcasm, a lot of working humor. He's making comments which I think he knows will get a laugh from people.
Ho Chi Minh has an inimitable style of writing, which was lively, crisp, concise, and often humor tinge. And I could give one example in the essay Lynching that you referred to, after page 11, at the end of the article. He ended with the statement, and I quote here, among the collection of the crimes of American quote-unquote civilization, lynching has a place of honor. And in another essay titled American Justice, he described a group of white people ransacked the house of a Black family because of economic jealousy. And there is the paragraph here, and I read, they stormed into his house and ransacked the home place. Everything was destroyed to pieces. His wife and the other sons were told to leave the town immediately or else they would all be hung. The next day, the unfortunate woman and her children ran out of town, leaving behind everything that her husband had worked so hard to save for 40 years. And then Ho Chi Minh ended the story with this. The marauders, of course, were never put on trial. The quote-unquote American Court of Justice could not find any evidence of their crime.
Yeah.
So these are two examples.
The cold-bloodedness of it comes across so clearly, because he goes right directly to the sources. He cites a headline from a New Orleans newspaper. He said it was 5 inches. The headline was 5 inches tall, and it said there will be a lynching. It was telling their readers, they're announcing that someone's going to be lynched, and they had his name. Here's a mob is going to gather and they're going to lynch this person and burn the remains. I mean, talk about unspeakable violence. This book goes a long way toward telling us why we're in the problems we are in now. It strikes me. And again, our guest is Day Trang Gyun, and the book is The Black Race by Ho Chi Minh. It's not surprising to me that many Black leaders in America, the Black Panther Party republished Ho Chi Minh's essays, but also there was just a sense that this was an individual that they could recognize as a brother. and civil rights movement and the Vietnam War, they actually meshed as one phenomenon. It turned into what was called a two-front war, which people ought to know that. Could you talk about that?
Yes. Ho Chi Minh wrote three essays in the 60s during the height of the war in Vietnam, and also in the United States at the time, there was the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement. The three essays that he wrote, the first one was The Second Revolution in America, where he said that even though slavery was abolished, but Black Americans are still not free. And the second one was In Support of the Struggle of Americans. And right at the beginning, Ho Chi Minh said, the American who are the subject here are the Black Americans. He said that justice will prevail, our people in the South will certainly prevail, and our Black brothers in America will certainly prevail. And the third one was the second front against American imperialism. So clearly Ho Chi Minh drew the connection between the struggle of the Vietnamese people against American intervention with the struggle of Black people in America for freedom, for civil rights.
Yeah. And if you look at the arc of his life, had he been in America still, he would have been part of the Black struggle based on his writing.
Well, in his view, we all had to stand up together, protect each other, and work with each other to have a better future, a future that is more equitable, the future that is more inclusive. He has said very clearly that there are only two types of people, two groups of people, the exploiter and the exploited. He encouraged and he was the inspiration for the people who were exploited to stand up and to work together for a better future.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I mean, it's gotta be remarked, this is someone who, he didn't, the actual ending of the war, I guess, was 1975. He died, what was it, 69?
Yes, he passed away in 1969, and 6 years after Vietnam was able to gain complete independence when the Americans withdrew, and Vietnam reunified North-South in 1975. And I would like to add that Vietnam and the United States normalized relations in 1995 under Bill Clinton administration. And in 1987, UNESCO has recognized Ho Chi Minh as a great man of culture, and and here I wrote the UNESCO resolution that Ho Chi Minh devoted his whole life to the national liberation of the Vietnamese people, contributing to the common struggle of peoples for peace, national independence, democracy, and social progress. And I also would like to add that as Ho Chi Minh was the inspiration for many peoples in colonies to gain independence and to secure freedom for the peoples, there are now statues of Ho Chi Minh in over 20 countries, and many schools and streets around the world were named after him.
Well, and Vietnam has become an exemplary. Everyone applauded the effort of the Vietnamese people against COVID, and it's a tribute to the original work of the Ho Chi Minh that they have such a country. Dai Trang Nguyen, I appreciate very much your being our guest. The book is The Black Race by Ho Chi Minh and Selected Works on Systemic Racism. It can be found at a different book list. And again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Phil, for having me.